Okay, Matthew chapter 8, beginning at verse 28. And when he was come to the other side, into the country of Gergesenes, there met him two possessed with devils, coming out of the tombs exceeding fierce, so that no man might pass by that way. And behold, they cried out, saying, What have we to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Art thou come hither to torment us before the time? And there was a good way off from them, a herd of many swine feeding. So the devils besought him, saying, If thou would cast us out, suffer us to go away into the herd of swine. And he said unto them, Go. And when they were come out, they went into the herd of swine, and behold, the whole herd of swine ran violently down a steep place into the sea and perished in the waters. And they that kept them fled and went their ways into the city and told everything that, and what was befallen to the possessed of the devils. And behold, the whole city came out to meet Jesus. And when they saw him, they besought him that he would depart out of their coasts. Let's just bow in prayer. Heavenly Father, as we come before you this afternoon, Lord, as we look into your word, help us to understand the truths that are here for us this afternoon. And Father, may we make application of those to our lives. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen. It's very interesting, this account, as we read this. The account is also found in Luke and Mark. There it's a reference to one man and not two. They're very well, here we, as we've said before, people have a different perspective and can see the same event and they're seeing different things. If, for example, there was an accident on the corner out here and you were all eyewitness to it, you all would have seen it from a little different perspective. And even though, and if you had everything exactly the same, verbatim, then you probably question, did they get together ahead of time and work this all out? But when you see something that's a little different, then you probably know that it's true because they're seeing from the perspective. Matthew's brought out that there are two demonic men, and Mark and Luke mentioned that there was one. They both had the same thing happening, that they were uncontrollable. In Mark and Luke, it says that they would literally chain up this man, and he could break the chains. He had supernatural strength that was brought on by the demons. This is very true. If you've ever seen what happens when people take drugs, psychedelic drugs, there are certain drugs that give you supernatural strength. A number of years ago, our company was supposed to replace some glass in the old St. Ansgar's Hospital when they had the psych ward up there. And we went up there, and the one place that we were supposed to replace it, one of the patients had literally, there was a steel frame around the glass that was in there. He had literally peeled back the steel frame with his bare fingers. People can do supernatural things when they're under the control of drugs and the demonic. And this is exactly what was happening here. This person wasn't controlling himself. These two people were controlled by demons. The people that would walk by were afraid of them because they would come out. They lived in the tombs. I wanted you to take a look at where they lived. They lived where death existed. And that's interesting as well. I mentioned this morning that one of the things that's happening in our culture today is there's a big move towards the occult. People, especially amongst young people, are enamored with the occult and different aspects of the occult. Yet if you look at where the occult leads, it leads to death. It doesn't lead to life. It doesn't lead to hope. It leads to despair. I would not say that these men were in a very hopeful situation. They were in a situation with nothing but despondency and despair. They had no future. If you can imagine this for an existence, living in tombs, being totally uncontrolled, attacking anyone who would come by that would be in their right mind, and this was the way they lived. Now, where were they living? I mentioned this morning that Jesus said, let's get in the boat and go to the other side of the lake. The lake is the Sea of Galilee, and the other side was where the Decapolis was, the 10 cities that were greatly influenced by Rome and were Gentile-orientated cities. And that's where Jesus went. I want you to see that Jesus also ministered to Gentiles, not just to Jews. We saw that 2 weeks ago, or last Sunday rather, when we looked at the centurion who came to Jesus to have his servant healed. He was not Jewish. He was Roman. And he was not only Roman, but he's of the Roman military. This man, in all likelihood, may have been a Jewish man, but probably was not. Anyway, he was demon-possessed. And he lived on the east side of the Sea of Galilee. They brought this man, came to him, and Jesus went over there. It's also interesting, why would Jesus go? Why would Jesus go? Jesus knew things. He knew what was going to happen, as we saw this morning when they went across the lake, that there was going to be this storm, and he wasn't bothered. He was sleeping. He knew what would be there when he got to the other side. Jesus grew up in that area. He grew up in Nazareth, which is on the northwest corner of the Sea of Galilee, up in the hills. And so he knew what these cities were. He knew who lived there. Also, we know that this was a Gentile area, because what is the herd that's on the side of the hill? It's not sheep. It's swine. Jews did not eat pork. They would not have been herding pork. They wouldn't have been raising pigs. So we knew that this had to be a Gentile farming operation where they were raising pigs. Jesus knew that that's what was over there. Why would he go? I believe there's a couple reasons. One, he was going to confront this situation to reveal to his disciples who is in control and whose plan is in place. Because oftentimes we can be overcome with seeing all of the evil that's around us. In our culture right now, we see a lot of evil. And it sometimes appears like people that are very evil and wicked, they're getting their way. And it seems like, how can they not? If I did those things, I'd be thrown in jail, and they seem to just get by. How can that be? And also, what is the impact on other people, other our young people and other people? And I think Jesus wanted to go over there and show, number one, who's in control? Is it Satan or is it me? Is it the demons or is it me? is it the Roman government or is it me? And as he goes over there, he confronts that which knows exactly who he is. The second thing I want you to see is the demons know who Jesus was. This is not the first time in Scripture that you see that Jesus is told by the demons that they know who he is. And when he confronts them, go to verse 2, or verse 29 rather, it says, "And behold, they cried out, saying, What have ye to do with thee, Jesus, thou Son of God? Why are you here? This isn't where you're supposed to be. And what are you coming to, and what are you coming to deal with us?" They acknowledge his authority over them. Satan doesn't have authority over God. God's got authority over Satan. Demons don't have authority over God. God's got authority over demons. And also, James talks about the fact in his letter to the church that we as Christians should fear the Lord, because he is God. He is the one that we should be in awe and reverence of him. He says, literally, the demons know who he is and they tremble. And sometimes Christians, we act like God is, oh, I don't have to listen to the Lord. I don't have to do what God wants me to do. I'll just go and do my own thing because I got saved when I accepted Jesus. No, we should be in awe, in reverence, because he is the Holy One. He is the Almighty One. He is our Creator and Redeemer. And James tells us that demons fear and tremble. The only problem is they have no saving faith because they walked in open rebellion against him, even though they know who he was. They were there and saw him when he created the world. And they know specifically who he is. They make an interesting statement here. It says, and the devils coming out of the tombs, they said in verse 29, "Thou Son of God, art thou come hither to torment us before the time?" In other words, have you come to judge us before the time? What is the time that they're speaking of? Well, there's coming a time where Satan and all the demons shall be cast into the lake of fire. There's coming a time where he will not have influence over the world. During the millennial reign of Christ, it says that Satan will be bound for a period of 1,000 years. There will be no demonic influence. There will be no influence by Satan during the millennial reign of Jesus. They know of that coming time. They also know of the time that comes after that, that for a season, Satan will be loosed, and that is to test the hearts and try that the hearts of those that have been born during the millennial kingdom, that they can be seen whether they will believe in Jesus and accept him as their Lord, or if they've just done it because there is righteousness in the world, but they really were harboring rebellion in their heart. And that is the reason Satan is loose for a period of time. And after that, he shall be cast into the lake of fire. They shall be bound and be judged with an eternal judgment. They know it's coming. They knew Jesus was coming. It had been foretold, all these things about his first coming. They knew of that. They knew when he came. They knew who he was. And they're saying, are you here before it's our time, before we have to be cast into the lake of fire, before we have to be judged? And so Jesus says, and they ask him, can we go into that herd of swine? Now, it's interesting. I want you to see that they ask to go into the herd of swine. And then the first thing they do when Jesus says, go, they go. They don't stop. They leave. They go into the swine, and the first thing they do is they cause the herd of swine to run over the edge of a cliff, and they all die and are drowned in the lake. And you stop and think, this is a mark of Satan. I want to go and I possess those, but I'm going to possess them to destroy them. Young people need to understand the demonic and the occult. Satan comes saying, I'll give you power. But when he comes to give power, he comes to give death and destruction. And he may mask it as something else, but he really, his intent is to destroy. And that's exactly what these demons did when Jesus told them to go into the swine. But the thing that I really want us to look at is the events that occur at the last few verses. You've got those that were taking care of the swine in the field. They see what's happened. They saw the interaction with those that were possessed by demons, these two men, and they saw that they were healed and delivered from their demonic possession by the Lord, put into their right minds. You can go and read the account in Luke's gospel that this man, when he came into his right mind, it says, worshiped Jesus, and he wanted to stay with Jesus. And he fully understand who Jesus was and what Jesus had done for him. So we see that these young men taking care of these pigs saw that. They saw the deliverance. They saw the transformation. They saw these men who were out of their minds, couldn't be bound, would beat up anybody who tried to bind them, would attack people, lived in the tombs. They're delivered and they're normal. They're in their right minds. What do they do? Well, you think they go, wow, what a miracle. Who is this man? We need to find out. We need to worship him. But that's not what they do. They go back to the city and they report, guess what? We saw this man and these men were possessed by demons, and he told the demons, go. And they went into the swine, and the swine all ran over the cliff and drowned. And that's what happened. And it says all the people of the city came out to see and to tell Jesus something. Their response was totally different from the responses we saw this morning. They wanted to make Jesus king, the people in Capernaum. They wanted him to do all these miracles for them, but they didn't want to worship him as God, nor did they want to repent of their sin. These people didn't want to repent of their sin either. They just wanted Jesus out of there. And they told him, depart, leave. We want nothing to do with you. Have you ever seen people like that? This morning I talked about the man that had been delivered and become a Christian from Myanmar, and his family and many of his old friends rejected him. But he was a totally different person. Before, he'd been a very cruel man. He would beat people. He would beat his own soldiers. He would beat anybody who was a Christian. He would say awful things. He was a drunk. He would do all these things. When Jesus saved him, he was transformed. He loved people. He was concerned about people. He wanted to talk to people so that they could experience the love of God as well. He changed his whole life and direction. And guess what? They didn't want anything to do with him. They said, depart, leave. A lot of people will do that. You see, if they're not willing to accept Jesus as the Messiah, as God, as their Redeemer, and not willing to humble themselves and bow before Him, the only other option is to say, depart, leave. We don't want nothing to do with you. That's the response of these people. They said, leave us. When they saw what had transpired here, you think it would be the exact opposite. What was more important to the people of the city? Their pigs. Their pigs were more important than God. Now, unless we think, oh, how could they think that? A bunch of pigs? Compared to God? Compared to Jesus? Well, what do we make more important to God? I was listening to a man this morning, and he was giving his testimony. And before he became a Christian, he was speaking, and he said, before I became a Christian, I worshiped this. And he held up, I don't know what denomination it was, but it was money. And he said, this was my God, and I was going to do everything I could to get as much of it as I could. He came from a very wealthy family that had made their money in doing things that supplying people with alcoholic beverages. And he was in line to inherit that, to become the president of that huge company. If I gave the name of it, you would all recognize it immediately. He had some co-workers that were training him to be the next president of the company come over to his house and share Jesus with him. And my wife and I kind of were questioning, how could they have remained in the company? But an interesting thing happened to this guy. He was in line to become president of a multi-million dollar international company that supplies alcoholic beverages to the world. He turned his back on it and gave it up for Jesus. He was a transformed man. He said, I was ready. I was on my way to divorce court because my wife and I were like this. He said, I didn't even know my own son. I was driven. I would be at work all the time. I was driven by money and power, and I needed to have this company and needed to do this. And then Jesus came. And I was transformed. Now, there'd be a lot of people in the world say, what a fool. What a fool. He gave up all of that to follow Jesus? That's what these people coming out of the Decapolis, those 10 cities that had heard about the pigs, and they came out not to see Jesus and say, Lord, what do we have to do to be saved? It was, Lord, get out of here. He cried out, Lord, what do I have to do to be saved? Come in here. And those are the two responses. Do we respond to God and ask Him to come into our lives? And are we transformed? Or are we like the response of the demons and the people in that city? Lord, are you here to judge us before our time? We got a lot left to do. I've got a lot more people that I need to cause to rise up in rebellion against you. I've got a lot more money to be made on pigs. Why do I want you here? Jesus says, the choice is yours. And I don't think it was by chance, because I don't think God does anything by chance. Jesus went to that side of the lake for a reason. And it was to show his disciples, and it was to show us and to give an account for us that there is a real demonic world, that they know who he is, that they know their outcome, and that he gives us an opportunity to be delivered from that outcome, just as he did these men. Let's just close in prayer. Lord, I pray that you would help us to seek to honor and to glorify and to worship you. May we bring honor and glory to you through our lives and by allowing you to work in our hearts and being obedient to you in all we say and do. This we'd ask in Jesus' name. Amen.